Hi everyone, this is Diva from Bloodhunter and you're listening to the Metal Pit Podcast.
Welcome to the Metal Pit Podcast. This is where we dive into the albums and bands that made metal what it is today. I'm your host, Blake. And with a guest, my guest today, I'm going to announce her right now, is Georgina, one of the writers from the Metal Pit. How you doing, Georgina?
Good morning to you. Good morning.
Let's see. And of course, as I always say at the start, I usually don't introduce the person this early, but I just thought I'd switch it up. But make sure you check out our website, themetalpit.org, and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at The Metal Pit. And of course, the podcast has its own website, which is themetalpitpodcast.com. And it is also on Facebook and Instagram, and that is at The Metal Pit Podcast. And you can find us on YouTube at The Metal Pit 666, where you can listen to audio versions of this podcast. And if you want to message me with, I don't know, an album suggestion, maybe you want to be a guest, maybe you want to talk about all our mistakes or whatever, you can email me podcast at themetalpit.org. And so we're going back to 2001. And this, I guess this would be the first industrial album we've done, I would imagine, band, I think.
Yeah.
And we're going to Germany now. I think Scorpions are from Germany, aren't they?
Yeah.
So somebody already did. So this is our second German band. And we're doing Rammstein, or how do you say it? How do you say it? Is that how you say it?
Rammstein.
Now, this will be a little bit interesting. I'm going to let Georgina quote all the lyrics and tell us what they mean. Okay, maybe
I'll try my best.
But anyway, briefly here, Rammstein, whatever, is a German industrial metal band formed in Berlin in 1994, known for their provocative imagery, explosive live shows, and what New German Hardness, I guess, is what they call the band in Germany. Or at least that's what they did in 2000, or back in what they started in 1994, whatever. And they've grown into one of the most controversial and successful bands in the world. I guess controversy is mostly from their live shows, which I have never seen them live, but I have watched live concert videos or whatever, where they're shooting fire and shooting white stuff out of guns and things.
Yeah, that was in Madison Square Garden in 2010.
Yeah, so I don't know. Anyway, okay. Now, usually I ask, when did we first hear this group that we're going to talk about? I have no idea when I first, probably Du Hast, I'm assuming, off their first album, since they put an English version on it too, but that's probably the first time I heard it. So I did hear the first album, I guess. That's the first album. Because we're going to do, what album are we doing? We're doing Mudder, yes, the third studio album. So do you remember anything about when you first heard or seen
Rammstein? I think the first time I started listening to this band was after borrowing a friend's live DVD and then viewing it. And then I decided to pick up a copy of Mudder. So I own this album. I own Sensush. I hope I'm saying this. I hope I'm not butchering that. I'm Berliner. No, I'm not. And I've heard Rieslis, and this is by far the best of the three, I think.
Du Hast was on their second album, not their first one. So it was actually the second album, which I think you just said the name of it, which I'm not going to say.
Yeah.
The album from 1997, yes, that had Du Hast on it. And that's, I think, when I first heard them. And yes, we're doing Mudder, which is the third album. And it looks like they just have 8 studio albums. It feels like they have more, but yeah, 8 studio albums. And the last one was in 2022. I think I've listened to everything. Maybe, I don't know if I've ever went back and listened to the first one or not, but since then I've listened to them all. Whatever, probably have them on Spotify. I think the first one is the only one I have on CD, and I don't think I into them back when I used to buy albums back in the day,
Right.
if they even were when that was going on. But anyway, okay, so we're going to talk about the third studio album.
You
Sorry.
didn't mention how they got their name.
Well, maybe I don't know how they got their name.
Do you want me to tell
Well,
you?
then I don't know right now.
Okay. Well, the band took their name by adding an M from the location of a German tragedy where 80 people were hurt and killed as a result of the crash during an American Air Force flight show. So the literal translation of Rammstein is a battering ram made of stone. Now, that sounds weird, right? So the word of Rammstein's harmonious blend, they have this theater and music thing. So that's basically how they got the name.
Okay, good. I don't think I have that written down here as I just kind of grabbed some information. But yeah, so definitely industrial, electronic, I guess, because they do have the keyboard guy there, or whatever you want to call him. And but there's moments of opera and classical stuff in there, and their lyrics often focus on taboo topics like, sex, violence, politics, whatever. Which we'll probably, I don't know, we'll get to a little bit, even though, see, we've talked before on the podcast about the lyrics, and sometimes I'll talk about, now I do have some ideas of what the songs are about, but I'm not going to be quoting any lyrics since they're all in German.
Yeah,
And
maybe
I'm
not so much.
thinking, but this is definitely a band where I don't, it doesn't matter if I can tell what the singer's saying, I still like the music. I like just the heavy riffing and drumming and stuff, and like, I could listen to it even if there was no singing. Because it's just, makes you bang your head when you're listening to it. Okay, do we want to just get to the, oh, wait, where do I have a bio on this? Oh, here we go. Okay, this was released April 2nd, 2001, third studio album, widely regarded as a turning point in their career. Well, I would think Du Hast was the turning point, but whatever.
Right.
The album introduced a more polished and cinematic sound, and it was recorded in France, and it marked a shift toward deeper emotional themes. They let's see, and I think they had six singles from this album, which
Yeah,
is
they did.
weird way back then.
Yeah.
Now groups release six singles, so it is kind of weird back then. And now the band lineup, who I think I can pronounce most of this, is vocalist Till Lindemann. Let's see, lead guitar, we got Richard Crosby. Rhythm guitar, Paul Landers. Keyboards, Christian Lorenz. Bass, Oliver Rydell. And drummer is Christoph Schneider. And there's a few guest musicians. There's another Linda man. Is that his wife, possibly? Or I don't know. But it says Kira Lee Linda man. It says track 7. I don't even we'll have to wait till we get to that. And of course, there's an orchestra in here with some stuff. The Deutsches Filmorchester Babelsberg. I don't know. Whatever. Conducted by Gunter Josek. Okay. That's enough.
You want to crack up? Here's the thing with Kira. There's a little story behind that. A lot of people mistake it. They believe that that's his daughter,
Oh.
and it's actually she's Richard Crisp's daughter. She got the name because Crisp had a child with Lindemann's ex-wife, who she still goes by the married name. I mean, isn't that confusing? But that's Rammstein for you. That's one of the factoids, but that's his daughter. Nuts.
Okay, well, let's get to the album then. And we're gonna do okay, so pardon if you're from Germany and you're listening to our podcast. Forgive me if I get words wrong. So we got the first track is Mein Herz brennt, which means in English, my heart burns. So what do you think, Georgina?
Does it burn? Does it burn? That's so sweet. I mean,
Well,
I'm not.
I take pills for that. But
I
anyway.
knew you were gonna say that. Oh my God, I'm cracking up here. I'm not a big fan of German lyrics. But I love Rammstein, and I also want. I just want to add. I love the band Oomph. If anyone knows, about that band as well. I mean, that German, the lead vocalist is totally hot. So here we go. Flames, fetishes, and like pickled babies is basically what I think of when I pick up this album. What do I think of the song? Well, it's a beautiful opener, right? The track starts out really quiet until it's like singing softly in the background, until the verse where, like, you got these solid guitar chords coming in are met with this like little violin sample, and the soft but angst beginning kind of introduces this heartache theme, right, that we see throughout this album. This album is actually really quite deep. Reading about all these songs and what they're about, there's some like really serious undertones here on what he's singing about. It's quite simple to understand the song meaning if you watch the official video. With by looking at it, you'll know that it's about child abuse, right? And it's not about child abuse about the children. It's about adults who suffered from that experience as children. So it's a beautiful opening track. It's a really nice song. Dig it.
I will just say some notes here. The opening line of the song's intro and chorus in English means, "Now, dear children, pay attention. I have brought something for you," which is taken from a German children's TV show called in English, Mr. Sandman, because I don't want to butcher all these words. So in English, it means Mr. Sandman. And it provides children with a bedtime story. But of course, this is a darker version. Let's see. One more thing. Oh, and the Swedish dark symphonic metal band Aline. Sorry again if I get that wrong, but they did a cover version of this song in 2019. And that has a female vocalist whose name I forget right now. But anyway, yeah, it's a good song, and grand has an orchestral opening kind of tone to it too, and there's lots of stuff throughout this album like that brings that kind of into it, which is good and keeps it whatever going. Then we go to the song Links 2-3-4, which means left 2-3-4, I guess is what I'm hearing. And how do you like this one?
Like it, I'm not going to say anything negative about it. There's a funny thing, well, not funny, I read this in an interview regarding this song, and Rammstein had stated in an interview, I forgot where it was occurring, I don't remember the place where who did the actual interview, that about the song, because there's a little bit of like controversy, and it's about the political spectrum and how they swing to the left rather than to the right. And they wrote it, they said, to clarify that unlike all the accusations that were going around, that they're not Nazi sympathizers. So they wanted to kind of set that record straight. And it's one of the most well-known songs, definitely on the album. It's a statement made in lyrics. For example, if they want my heart beating on the right side, I took it beats left there, and that's like my rough translation. I put that in one of those translators, and that's what I got. And the music has like this march feel, like throughout it, and the latter part of the chorus features like these chorus of voices in the background. It's a pretty good song. I like it. Oops, I dropped my phone.
Well, this is one of those heavy industrial grinding guitars, marching rhythm kind of songs, and I like them, like it no matter what, just because it's just heavy and I like that. But going on with what you said, I guess in the chorus in English again, it says they want my heart on the right, but when I look down, it beats on the left, which is saying what you said, that implying that they are left on the political spectrum and not Nazi sympathizers or whatever. But yeah, that was kind of the reason for the song. It says, and I don't know if there's a video for this song or not. I didn't have time to go watch the videos, but I know their videos are not cheap. pretty elaborate videos, really telling a story. So, and I believe there's at least five or six from this album, I think, that they had videos for.
Right, there are quite a few.
Then we go to track three. Oh, and links, and I links 2, 3, 4. It's funny, the small town I live in has a hockey team and they're called the Lincolns. And so people, you would say go Lynx go for short if you're at a hockey game. And I always thought they should really play this song,
Yeah.
but they don't. It's probably too heavy. But it would have been a good one because they Lynx. There you go. Anyway, okay. Song number three is called, well, in English, it's called Sun. I guess that would be sunny in German. And so, what do you think of this one?
Sonnet? It's Sonnet.
Yeah.
I love Rammstein. I really do. The way they mix like German techno and metal to create, the sound like no other band really. All their songs are so awesome. Well, I think this song, there's it's interesting. From what I read, this song was originally written as a theme for some boxer, right? Did you read about this before he
Yes.
changed
Yes.
his mind? And it's an amazing song, and it basically it begins with Till Counting to Nine and saying out, right? And then you get this, it's followed by one of the like these like catchy one of the catchiest guitar riffs I've ever heard. And then the chorus like changes, and then you got this like melodic sound as Till sings like Here Comes the Sun. It's probably one of my favorite Rammstein songs of all time. I also love the video. I know you mentioned the videos, and here's one pure example where you see Sonnet is like a modern day adaptation of the German fairy tale of Snow White by the Grimm brothers. And you see in the video, the band members are shown as dwarfs, basically. You see them as dwarfs in the actual video, and they're mining gold for Snow White. And Snow White is played by, I believe, the Russian actress. She's a soap opera actress. Her name, she's gorgeous, brunette, Julia Stepanova. And basically, Snow White is portrayed as a tyrant and a drug addict in this video. Gotta watch it. Good stuff. Love this song. Cool stuff. Love the video too.
This was the first single from this album, and yes, as you said, it was written for I think a Ukrainian boxer, and his surname, which was Klitschko, was the working title of the song. But I guess since I don't have where it says that he changed his mind, like you said, so then I guess they went with the song with the title Sunny or Sun, whatever. The female vocal that comes in the song is from a Spectrasonic Symphony of Voices sample library. So,
Interesting.
and there's also a
Very
piano.
famous.
There's also a piano-based version video or single, I mean, of the song too, I guess, which I don't. Anyway, but yeah, another like almost all of these have the heavy riffing going on and like. The next ones, especially here, Ick will, I want. This is a fan favorite. Is this a fan favorite of yours?
I love it. I love it. It's another single and another great track. I believe what Flake, you've got it. You've got the rhythm atop of the guitar line in this song, and it's catchy big time. And the song is about human desire and wanting to achieve fame and immortality, from my understanding. And I saw the video, and Iqbal shows it sh basically shows the band members participating in a bank robbery, Blake, both during right the bank robbery and after the crime. And the band had said, from what I read, that the video demonstrates the media's obsession with good stories, right? And with the immortality of criminals, basically. And it sounds fantastic live when the crowd joins in and till the chanting. Real cool stuff. I love it. Great song, great video too.
I'm sure that crowd chanting part is good for the live shows, but again, I've never like it's been such a long time since I watched the live video, but I should check it out again. But I'm sure this is the one that gets a lot of them. I mean,
It's
I don't
good
really,
stuff.
you pretty much said everything that I was going to say, so
Oh, did I? Oh my God. Oh, sorry.
that's okay. I'm sure we have the same sources. Then we go to one of my favorites. Now, like, well, I mean, I like I say, I like them all except for one, which you can probably guess, but we'll get to that. But all the others are still continue with the heavy, like, I love Ministry, so this is Ministry before them, and that's definitely what I like about Ministry's Psalm 9, especially that album. Just the heavy, like New World Order and Just One Fix kind of stuff, just heavy riffing and stuff. And then, like, I could care what they're talking about. And I can't tell what they're talking about anyway, unless I research it. So now we got track five. And this song is in English called Fire at Will. So I'm not going to try to say what it says in German. You can if you want to. So, what do you think of Fire at Will?
You will fry, I think is, you will fry. Boy, let me tell you, this song has gotten around. This song has made its round tenfold. The 69 Eyes covered this song, and I love that version too. I believe Sabaton covered this as well in their platinum edition of the Carolus Rex album. And it also got the rounds in Triple X, which I believe that was what a 2000 and 2002 film. And it's a James Bond film, and it's just a part of that film is just like a walking, it's like walking into a Rammstein concert in all its glory. And you'll see like the band performing on stage, and it's just the perfect choice for this opening scene. And it's funny because there's an assassination going on in progress, and heck, you see the guitar player like shooting fire out of his mouth. It's like really cool, but the message is somewhat lost. In a bit in the frantic guitar until you hear Till screaming like bang bang. It's definitely one of the heaviest tracks on the album, and it definitely conveys a lot of messages here and meaning as well. Cool. I love it. I love it, and everybody else loves it because they've all redone it or they've added it somewhere. I'm pretty sure there are other people that have like covered it as well, but those are the ones that I can recollect, and those are the ones that I found right off the bat.
Well, yeah, it is one of the band's most well-known songs, but it's also, I read that it's not featured on the band's greatest hits collection, Made in Germany, whatever, but I don't really care about greatest hits anyway. But it says those reasons have not been explained why they didn't put it on the greatest hits, but I don't know. I don't really care about greatest hits anyway. And this also, you mentioned Triple X movie, and it also was on an episode of CSI. I'm not sure. Isn't there more than one CSI? Anyway, it just says CSI Crime Scene Investigation Episode Slaves of Las Vegas. So
Ooh.
I don't know. So if you want to look that up, I guess you might hear the song in there. And yeah, I already mentioned that. Okay, then we go to six, and this is one that I could almost say, oh, I could almost say I knew what the title was. But Mudder, which of course is the title of the album, and of course that means mother. So, how do you like mother or mudder?
Mama. Well, it's a tragic ballad. And it's another one of the singles on the album. The lyrical meaning here is pretty deep. It's a song about a test tube baby who's never gotten who never knew his mother and feels alone in the world. And that harsh the harsh sounding mother And then this like this strained guitar line makes it a really powerful track, for sure. And I forgot to mention, like, do you know the actual cover, what the cover of this album is?
Yeah, I was just gonna say that too.
Right, good segue.
Yes, but anyway, well, you can say it.
What is it?
It's a picture of a dead fetus.
Yeah, some deep. I
Forgot
remember,
to
you know what?
mention
I
that.
remember I saw this for the first time. I was like, what? I was like, oh shit. Pardon my French. I was like, oh wow. But yeah, no, I love it. Love it.
Well, when I
Mutta.
saw the, I didn't think anything of it until now, researching it. I just thought it was a picture of a baby, which, I mean, it was, but whatever. But I don't want to get too much into that.
Yeah.
But one thing before I forget, well, wait, I guess I can still, what? Yes, the song is supposedly the story of a child not born from a womb, but an experiment. Sounds like an X-File. Sorry, I mentioned that. Because I'm
Yeah.
rewatching the X-Files right now, so everything reminds me of the X-Files. Anyway, I was just, but one thing before I forget, like Rammstein, they're from Germany and they sing in German, and I wonder why they never tried to sing in English except for words here and there, like the other German groups, like Scorpions, Halloween, Gravedigger, except they're all from Germany. But they all sang in English, and I always wondered why didn't they, like maybe they don't, well, I guess they must speak English, right? They do interviews, I'm assuming. I don't know. I've
Right. Oh, you mean
watched
like
some of
do
the interviews.
bilingual, like go bilingual? I don't know. Maybe they like their shtick. You know what I mean? Like they're a German band. They
I
have that
mean,
German
it's a
pride.
different, yeah, it's a different thing, right? Because is there any
Yeah.
other groups that, the other group you mentioned, do they sing in English?
No, Oomph does not.
Oh, they don't either? Okay.
Their videos are amazing, though. They got some great videos out.
Well, anyway, you just think that because I'll, when we're done here, I'll maybe look at some how the album ranked places, and you can see it didn't rank as high in the United States and Canada as it did, obviously in Germany, but even in some other European countries. And I wonder if it's because people want to understand the words. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But anyway, okay. So I don't need it. Do I need to? Okay, yeah, that one's a little slower than the rest, but yeah, it still has its moments there. And then we get to number seven, which in English is called Music Box, and you can say the German pronunciation.
Spoil her. I think I'm saying it correctly. Spoil her. I really like this song. Like, this is one of my favorites on the album. And it's another deep track. This time it's about a stillborn baby who comes back to life, right? Buried underground with this music box. And I saw the video for this, and you'll see once it is, and you see the video. It's just a picture of a little girl holding this box. And the music box keyboard at the beginning and the end add like this nice full circle effect to the song. And you have this distorted voice of this child in the chorus. And it kind of gets spine chilling if you really put this really loud and Dolby. And the bass is pretty solid through the verses. It's definitely a cool, spooky track. This is one of my favorites on the album, for sure.
Yes, and it's also one of my favorites on the album again.
Oh, is it? Oh, simpatico.
Again, the industrial riffs, and like it just, like I say, I could just listen to that. Like I don't like, because I guess there's not, is there any guitar solo? I wasn't even paying attention. I don't think there really is. They just
No, not on the, no.
really, they just kind
They're
of,
not known for that.
yeah, just like, Ministry and Static X or whatever, they're just riffing and pounding away. So yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I guess it was, you kind of already mentioned it. Yeah, but it's a mock, now I forget the word, but anyway, it's a lullaby about a child who is dead or pretends to be dead to escape the world, whatever you want to call it, with the music box. Isn't that sweet? Now we got a song about Twitter. Oh no, that's not right. Zwitter, wait, Zwitter. Now I listened to this a few times. Now I forget the pronunciation. Is it Zwitter or Zweeter? Zweeter?
I don't know. I'll say Zwitter because it
Okay.
rhymes with Twitter.
But anyway, this is
Ba-dum-bum.
another good one. So what do you think?
Do you know what Zvita means?
Well, I'm going to find out.
I could tell you.
Okay.
It means hermaphrodite. That's the
Oh,
title of
right. Yeah, I
this
forgot. I
track.
didn't say the English version. Yeah.
Yeah, and here we are back into the heavier material. I love this track. You've got like this frantic chugging guitar work and this heavy cymbal stuff going on. It's got this vigor from the beginning to like its fade out ending. It's definitely the lyrics are brilliant if you really listen to them. And only this band can write an optimistic, upbeat song about, a hermaphrodite who takes the joy in pleasuring him, her, or itself. And there's some great lines here, in this song. I mean, you have the lyrics basically explore themes like, we got self-love, self-pleasure. Like there's one of the lyrics, it says, I can pleasure myself every day and I can send myself roses. That's what he's saying in this song. It's really a great song. So it basically the song lyrics describes the speaker as alone, but yet they're not alone. And the premise is basically that I can be together with myself. So there's some coolness to this hermaphrodite song.
Been there, done that. Yeah. So yeah, we better not say anything else about that. Anyway, okay, number nine. We got 11 tracks in this album. Number nine is Rain Rouse. Rouse. I should have got a German person to be a guest on this episode.
You
Anyway,
should
the
have found
song
one.
is in English is In Out, which could be about sex too. And I think it is. So what do you think of this one?
Well, you know what? It wouldn't be a Rammstein album or song without, like, the obligatory, song about like anal sex. There's some very graphic lyrics here. From my understanding, and it has this interesting techno-like intro, which like cuts into the instrumentation of the song. You got this cool heavy riff. Oh, it sounds a little bit like the Spielherr, but it's angrier. It's definitely a good song for sure.
Yes, and yeah, it's just a straightforward, heavy, again, industrial track. Then we got another song we can understand what the word means. Adios. I can even say that one, I think. And of course, that means goodbye, even though you think they would have put this as the last song, but they didn't. So anyway, what do you think of Adios?
I like it. I definitely like this song. You've got this distorted, there's a little bit of solo here. A little bit one, a little one in this song. I like to think like there's a lot of people trying to figure out what this song is about. And I think it's about a heroin overdose here. That what he's talking about here. Laying needles in the vein, and I don't know, the music is like kind of going in between his throat and his forearm, and the melody travels softly through his bones. Like you could kind of really translate this into whatever, but this is a spacey song, and obviously calling it Adios Goodbye means that it's the final exit somewhat. Good stuff.
Yeah, it is about, I guess, themes of addiction and self-destruction. After that other one was about self, whatever.
Pleasure.
Okay, yes, that's it. Okay, and track 11 is Nebel, probably, and it means fog. And this is definitely my least favorite track, but what do you think of it?
Is it? Oh my goodness. Well, you know me. I'm going to be the antithesis here. I love this track. I love this track. It's like it's probably, for me, the most beautiful song by Rammstein. Nebel, I think it's translated as mist. It's kind of a metaphor for like memories that fade away, right? Mist. Nebel is, I believe, it's the word fog. And if you read it backwards, It's Leben. Leben. I know how to say Leben. I know I said that correctly, and I believe that means life, which is basically what the song is about. And the song is about a woman facing death who kisses her lover one last time. Beautiful song.
Oh.
Yeah, it is odd, definitely odd for Rammstein to be singing this versus, everything else that they sing about. Very, very beautiful.
Yeah, it was just a little compared to the rest of the album, it's just slow, and for me it's a little boring. But I wonder if they threw it at the end for people like me that wouldn't want to have to skip it, or I don't know, because if they could have played this and then played one of the heavier ones right after, whatever, because it's kind of ballady. I guess you would call it a ballad, would you? I guess.
Kind of.
But whatever, they decided to put it at the end. Now there is an ex, I don't know, a Japanese version. I never did look up the song or nothing, but Hallelujah. It's
Yeah, I
not
read about that.
Hallelujah, is it? Is it Hallelujah or it's
It
something?
is Hallelujah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. There's different versions of the album, and I guess that's on the Japanese version or possibly some other versions too. But anyway, so what would you give this album out of 10?
You don't talk about Hallelujah, what it's about.
Well, I don't know anything about the song as
I
well.
do. I read about it,
Okay,
and
well
it
then read
basically
it,
the
or then
I will. I'll let you know. I'll let you guys in
yeah.
on this Hallelujah. The band basically took their stab at religion, right? And I hope this doesn't offend anybody, but remember, this is music. These artists, they kind of go out the deep end. Some people might get offended, some might not. The song is about an altar boy who gets molested by a priest. It's brutally honest, and it's guaranteed to offend people. It's nothing too great musically. You have the same couple of guitar notes repeatedly throughout, but there's a decent it's a decent finish to an album. It kind of shocks you, like you got Nobel and then you have this. So it's kind of like a mishmash of emotions. Like, first you're like, oh, saddened, and then you're angered, depending on what side of the religious spectrum you're on here. But that's basically what Hallelujah is about. Yes.
Okay, so now, whether you include that song or not, what would you give this album out of 10?
I am gonna give I give it a 9.
Yeah, I think that's what I would give it too. I mean, I again, like I've already said, I just love the heavy guitars and drums and stuff, and it doesn't really matter that I can't understand the lyrics without looking them up and whatever, which I never ever did till now. So obviously it didn't matter what they were saying. Luckily they weren't saying anything too bad. That is one thing. You don't know what they could be saying, really. I mean, I know there's some controversial songs, but I don't think they're really saying anything that.
Oh, right. You mean like, for example, like say if you're sitting somewhere in a restaurant and someone's talking a different language and you don't know exactly if you're talking about you or not, or if they're saying something obscene.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like, yeah, so whatever, but
Yeah,
anyway, yeah, so yeah, so it's a good album, and yeah, so I would definitely say if you don't know them, check out the YouTube videos. Even if you don't like the music, you'd probably like the videos because they're so elaborate. And my favorite video I want to mention is this song. Now, I don't know what album this is on because I don't want to take the time to look it up, but the song is called Kind Lust, and it I was
oh.
telling Georgina before, but it features the band all dressed in big fat suits, and they get out of limousines that were driven by young Asian girls, and then they get out and they're playing their song outside of the cars that were parked, and they're on some street. I don't know where they are. They look like they're in a warehouse or some kind of thing. I guess they're not limousines, but they're big cars. But and they're playing and they're sweating to death because, because they're fat, I guess. In
Yeah.
the videos, but it's funny and whatever. So there you go. And I very briefly mentioned live. You've never seen them live, right?
No, you know what? I wanted to, but they weren't playing here. I don't know why I guess they've been selected, and I actually looked at if to see if they were going to play in 2025 or this year or next year, but they have nothing planned. But Till it has a solo band touring, I believe, in Europe right now. So he's out there. doing his solo thing, but not with Rammstein.
Well, their last album was 2022, so it's been 2 years,
Wow.
3 years, whatever. So we'll see if they do anything else. But I
Yeah.
was going to just mention the chart. I mentioned it briefly during the thing about the charts or whatever. So this album peaked at number one in, obviously, in Germany, it did, and in Switzerland, and in Austria, it went to number one. And in Canada, it went to number 14, which is pretty good, I guess. United States, it only made it to number 77. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It was only made it to number 86 in the UK. But and then if I check out gold and like it went what did Germany, it went triple platinum in Germany. And it went, platinum in Switzerland, triple platinum in Spain, platinum in Poland, double platinum in Denmark, but it didn't even make gold in the United States or Canada, which is kind of strange, actually, because they are pretty popular. But maybe one of their other albums did better. But I know this is one of their better albums, I think. I know the second album was pretty good too, but it's been a while since I went through their catalog to really compare it to the other stuff. But anyway, that's it.
I've
Now
got
we're going to
some
finish. Oh,
stuff.
did you want to say something else?
Yeah,
Go ahead.
I've got a quite, no, don't be
Okay.
apologizing. I have a lot of fun facts.
Oh.
Rammstein is a lot of fun. This band has got some cute little stories. I've got some fun facts that I found online. Here's the first one, guys and girls. On February 19th, which is ironically my son's birthday, in 2006, Rammstein had an asteroid named after them. 110393 Rammstein is their asteroid that they had named after them. Another fun factoid, and I'll try to keep them brief and quick because there are quite a few of them. In July of 2019, at a concert in Moscow, Russia, guitarist Paul Landers and Richard Crisp, they shared a kiss on stage while playing their song Ausländer. The moment was in direct protest of Russia's anti-LGBTQ laws, one of which passed by Vladimir Putin. Another fun factoid is on Rammstein's most notorious songs, Mein Thiel is based on the true story of Arwen Meiwes, who was a man who was imprisoned for cannibalism. Specifically, Meiwes dismembered and consumed the body of Bernard Jurgen Brandes. I hope I didn't botch up this name. I'm so sorry. Rest in peace. While the victim was still alive. And Meiwes decided to sue, claiming that Rammstein had used his personal story without his permission. Another one, Till Lindemann actually played a role as a German in a German children's movie. Was this the one that you were talking about? Amundsen der Pinguin? The movie was about a young girl, yes, and her scientist uncle trying to protect the penguin from treasure hunters. And Lindemann plays a character named Victor who gets bitten by a penguin. Yes, I'm going through this list. There's quite a few of them. And he had an interview with Rolling Stone, and he was asked about the weirdest proposition he ever received from a fan. And here's his answer, everybody. A fan politely asked if she could, she could poop on his forehead. And he says that she offered me a praline, one of those little chocolate pieces, that they make in France with truffles and stuff. Like these delicacies, and she prepped in the words more poetically and more romantically, not to say, can I ploop on your forehead? She said it in in that manner politely. Can I offer you a praline? Apparently, Till he describes his parents. This is another one about his upbringing, and despise the claim, however. He said that his mom walked in the middle of one of his performances, and he was playing in a restaurant and pub, at the time, pubs in South Germany. And his family went to place, to a place close to his village where he was singing and he was playing. And there was one song called Das Alte Lied, where he would be on stage saying this, and it means I want to bleep, F. And in those days, it was kind of obscene to sing in front of 800 people. And his mom, she basically left the venue once he started singing that song. I have a couple of more. I don't know if you want me to keep going, Blake.
Sure,
Should I?
go ahead. We're
Yeah.
going quick, I think.
Okay. While performing the song "Buchdick" during, I hope I said that right, concert in Worcester,
Book
Massachusetts,
what? Okay, go ahead.
"Buchdick," singer Till Lindemann, he simulated banging from behind while keyboardist Flake Lawrence used a fake phallus symbol while using. Both men remained fully clothed during the act. They were arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior in 1999, before being released the next day. And I think I mentioned the story about Kira being the child, Lindemann's child, but it's with his ex-wife. There's another one that Rammstein's lead singer wasn't always a musician. Do you know what Till did before, or what he tried before he started singing in the band?
Little teacher.
No, but
Oh.
that's a good one though. Sometimes you'd be surprised, right? He started off as a professional swimmer, and he almost represented, the German Democratic Republic during the 1980 Moscow Olympics, but unfortunately, he was booted off the team because he went to look around Florence during the competition without permission. And also, his scores weren't impressive enough, so he got booted. And I've got a couple more. Now, this one, we kind of chatted about this one earlier on during a particular memorable live performance at Madison Square Garden. And I actually remember when these guys were playing here, but I didn't get a chance to see him. Till Lindemann rode around the stage on this phallic-shaped cannon while singing the band's song, the P song. I don't know if I could say this on here. And the cannon shot, this is what you were kind of referring to, foam at the audience. And just as the song was about to end, sperm streamers kind of dropped from the ceiling. And during the same concert, Lindemann wore a 20 foot wide, I'm sorry, these steel angel wings, and he that shot fire from the tips. So talk about a mood shift, right? From foam to shooting fire out of angel tips. So those are some fun factoids about Rammstein, kids.
Well, I know, yeah, even if you don't like the music, I think you would like a live show or a live
Yes.
video because
Yes,
it's
yes.
much. I don't know if you'd want to sit in the front though, but
No.
if you're at a live show, I mean, because it would be hot from all the fire they're
Yes,
doing,
yes.
and then you might get a little wet from all the other stuff.
Yes. Yes.
But whatever, I'm sure there's people that want to get all that stuff and can go home and say, look what Rammstein did to me. Anyway, okay. So yeah, so make sure you if you've never heard of the band, I'm sure you have, but check them out and whatever. And if there's any Germans listening, again, we apologize if we got any words wrong or interpretations wrong or whatever. Okay, so this album came out in 2001, so we're gonna finish with our top 10 albums of 2001. And this was I don't this was kind of hard for me. I actually have two live albums on my list because I couldn't
Oh.
find 10 studio albums that I really liked. Because I don't think I really liked a lot of stuff starting in like the 2000s. It was harder for me to find stuff that I really liked. I'll go first, I guess, and I'll let you go last. So I guess in order, I got them mixed up here. But number 10, I got Slayer's God Hates Us All, which of course came out on 9/11 day, the day of the attacks on World Trade Center in New York City. So it just happened to be come out that day, and God Hates Us All. How fitting is that? I don't know. Anyway, number 9, I got Static X with I think their second album, Machine. Not as good as Wisconsin Death Trip, but still a good album. Number 8, I got one of my live albums, Joe Satriani, live in San Francisco. I've always loved Joe Satriani. And Steve Vai also, who I also love, also had a live album out that year, but I don't think I ever got it, but I did have this Joe Satriani. Number 7, I got Canadian-based band Annihilator with their album Carnival Diablos, featuring Jeff Waters, who's Canadian, but the rest of the band's not really Canadian. Number 6, I got Testament with First Strike Still Deadly, which really isn't new songs. It's just re-recordings of songs from their first two albums. But that's on my list. Number 5, I got System of a Down with Toxicity. As I like System of a Down there. Number four, I got Sabotage with Poets and Madmen. We did a Sabotage podcast recently, not on that album, but number three, I have this album by Rammstein, Mutter is my number three. Number two, I got Dream Theater live album, Live Scenes from New York, which also came out on 9/11. And they had to remove it from the shelves or something because the cover of the album had a picture of the World Trade Center on fire. And so they had to remove that and make an alternate
Yeah.
cover. But I do
Oh,
have that
God.
cover because I probably went out and got it that day. Or maybe not that day, but when they were at the stores anyway. And my number one is Arch Enemy with their album Wages of Sin, which is probably the first Arch Enemy album I heard with Angela Gossow on vocals. And I really liked that album. And that was my first taste of really listening to anything that was close to being death metal. That's your
Yeah,
number
I
one.
miss her. I miss her. I miss Angela. She was gorgeous too. You know, she had
She
great
was
stage
always
presence.
saying that she might come back and do something, but still
Really?
has
That'd
not.
be awesome.
So
Wow,
she does
interesting.
manage Arch Enemy, of course, and a few other bands, but she keeps hinting about doing something, but still nothing.
Cool.
So anyway, there's my list. So let's hear your top 10 albums of 2001.
All right, here it comes. I number 10 is Gojira, Terra Incognita. 9, Soilwork, Predator's Portrait. 8 was Fantomas. I picked Fantomas because I love anything that you know who does. The director's cut. Then I picked American Head Charge, The War of Art. This is such an underrated band. American Head Charge. I don't know if you've heard of them, but I love this band. I think the lead singer got into some kind of trouble, and they just kind of stopped pushing albums out. But these guys would have really been heavy hitters, I think, in the scene. But it's unfortunate. 6 is Arch Enemy. Just like you, right there. Wages of Sin. 5 is Creator, Violent Revolution. Love that album. I'm a big Creator fan. I love that. That band. 4 is Opeth. I picked Opeth, Blackwater Park. 3 is Rammstein. I put Mutter in there. Great album. 2, Slipknot, Iowa. I love this album.
I knew you were
Really
going to
good.
have them
Did
in there.
you guess who picked number 1? Number 1, I put Rob Zombie in there, The Sinister Urge.
Oh, yeah,
I put
I was.
Rob. Ta-da! That's my top 10 for 2001.
Well, good. Okay, there we go. Okay, so anybody wants to, comment, email, like I say, and I don't know, give us your favorite Rammstein album, maybe. Any German listeners want to get on a podcast and talk about a different Rammstein album where you can say the titles of the songs better and the lyrics? Feel free, but of course you have to speak English, or I won't be able to understand you either. So. Okay, so anyway, so that was a good one. That was our first, yeah, the first album we've done by them. And I guess I would like to do Ministry's album, Psalm 69, sometime, as that is one of my favorite albums of all time, too.
That's a good one.
And but anyway, so thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Georgina, for joining me.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure.
And we're getting close to episode 100 of the podcast.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I remember when we first
So
started this.
I gotta try to think of something maybe a little different than just
Oh, you got to do
like
like 100 after, you got to do like 100 anniversary type of thing for the 100th episode. You know what I
I
mean?
don't know
Something
what, yeah,
special.
but it's coming soon, so that's a good thing that we're up so high and doing good and adding new people and stuff. And again, if you want to write for the Metal Pit website, maybe you have to volunteer because I'm not making any money. I'm just trying to promote metal, but you think you might like to write album reviews and stuff like that, or do interviews, send me an email, info@themetalpit.org. Email me if you're interested in that. Okay. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will see you or hear you next week, or you will hear me next week. Okay.
Auf Wiedersehen, everybody.